Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Grundy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we're joined by the hosts of the new Throwing Shade podcast, and we discuss Jordan's road trip across America. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, smart, sarcastic, with just a hint of real.
Wait a minute. Somebody got new headshots.
Yeah, well, here's what's going on with me. Someone got to at Jordan Morris on Twitter before I could. I'm at Jordan underscore Morris, and there's a gal from I think Georgia.
Sure. The Peach State.
Yeah, the Peach State. And I've been noticing that she's been getting a lot
of... The Peach Tree State?
Yeah, I think it's just...
The Double Tree State.
The Peach Pit State.
The Marriott State.
Yes. The Radisson of the United States.
Yes.
And I've been noticing that this girl from Georgia has been getting a lot of people who are trying to talk to me.
Did you say the Peach Pit State?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really funny. Okay,
yeah,
keep
thanks.
Going.
Thanks. And so this is her Twitter, you know, quote. You know, like on Twitter, you can kind of have a little bio.
Yeah.
Hers is smart, sarcastic, with just a hint of real. So I'm thinking, like, why don't we just consolidate our brand here? Like, why are there's a lot of enthusiasm for people named Jordan Morris.
Why don't you come at it X and Y?
Yeah,
chromosome wise.
Exactly. Like, she's XM radio and I'm Sirius satellite radio.
You're like, splitting the demos.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and... But, and really, doesn't that kind of describe me? Think about it.
I think that's a pretty good idea.
Smart. Yes.
Yeah.
Sarcastic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm also a little bit real.
Well, you like to keep it real.
Sure.
When shit goes down...
And I hate it when people are fake. Oh, if people are fake...
You hate posers.
You
hate posers.
I totally
do. If there's anything... There's two things you hate. Number one, posers.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, organized religion. But not spirituality. You're a very spiritual person. To your credit,
person.
You are a very spiritual
person. Yeah, sorry.
Person.
I just don't want to be a zombie or a sheep, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's introduce
our
guests.
Or a robot or a Nazi.
Let's introduce our guests. And, you know, maybe they have some feelings about this. This is I see this as almost a kind of magic show versus vibe type situation. Magic Johnson show, that is. You know, you have two.
I don't understand this analogy.
Well, you got two competitors. They're coming in at the same time. They're both coming in. Smart, sarcastic, and a little bit real.
Just a hint of real.
And the concern is that instead of... Just imagine if Magic Johnson and I believe it was Sinbad... I don't remember. No, it wasn't Sinbad. Okay, well...
I still don't know what you're talking about.
Talking about the Replace Arsenio Wars of the late 1990s.
Okay.
Okay, let's bring in our guests because they have some insights on this, I'm sure. They're the hosts of the newest Maximum Fun podcast, Throwing Shade, Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi. Hi, guys.
I'm so glad we could talk now.
Me too.
But let me say something.
That'd be funny if you're like, I'm so glad we could talk now. Shut up.
Until you said the late night wars to replace Arsenio,
yeah.
I was like, I hope this doesn't come off as just someone who doesn't understand basketball.
That's what I thought.
I thought
we were about to talk basketball. I could not have brought in two worse people to talk about that. But then when you brought up Sinbad, I thought, no, I'm in my element now.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
But you guys are super into March Madness, though, right?
Oh,
obviously.
Yeah. Well, I did
my
bracketology.
Brackets. Yes.
Brackets.
I did all my brackets.
My bracelets and my...
We placed our bets at the... Sport Club.
So we went to Sport Club LA.
Yeah,
and
we did.
They didn't understand what we were giving them money
for.
No,
we gave them money and said our bets are placed on Nebraska.
I had to get into a bracket convo on the airplane. I went to
you were
someone brought you into one or you joined it?
No, I was introduced to one.
Yeah.
I went to Minneapolis, Minnesota. this past week to visit my good friends at Public Radio International. And I was sitting next to this guy, and okay, I'm just going to assume that this guy didn't like look me up afterwards and listen to this show. If he did, he was a nice guy. So I'll just say that. However,
you've now covered all
your
bases.
You're about to tear into him.
No, he seemed like a decent enough fellow. I was really concerned about this guy. I'd say he was maybe 25. He was husky. He was wearing a University of Michigan baseball cap. And what concerned me was that when the airplane got high enough in the air that you can do electronic things, he took out his iPad, started playing, what's this movie with Marky Mark where he's a boxer? The Champion.
The Fighter.
Oh, The Fighter. Fighter, yeah.
I love the movie. I'm not
That'd be
down
funny
the
if
movie.
He was just watching old Marky Mark videos. Yeah.
Just Funky Bunch.
He starts watching The Fighter on his iPad, and then he busts out two telephones and starts playing games on both telephones at the same time. Wow. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is this is young people today. This was like my first young people today experience of my life.
I don't know.
And then you look down and his dick is in a fleshlight.
Yes.
So he's also fucking something. Uh-huh.
So he puts one of the phones away. He's playing one game and watching a movie at the same time.
Do
and
you think
he
has like a talking phone and then just a game phone?
I guess so. Huh. I mean, he must just... I don't know. Maybe, well, you know what? Maybe he's a doctor, and one of his phones is his personal phone. One of them is for calls from the hospital.
Yeah. Were they the same platform? Was one an iPhone and one a Droid?
I was not getting into the platforms. I wasn't expecting to be grilled by a nerd.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, guess what?
Yeah, Poindexter.
I'm here and deal with it.
Yeah, you want to lecture us about Einstein next? Your boyfriend Albert Einstein?
He's a very tender lover.
I'm pretty sure one of them was a Palm Pilot 3.
Hmm. What? I don't even know what that is.
It's like OG.
I think they were both iPhones.
See that I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck was
going
on. No, but then shit got serious was when he brought out the Jelly Bellies, because he had this bag full of Jelly Bellies. And look,
that's the most disgusting part to me, because I can't imagine being that stimulated and then being like, you know what I need? Sugar.
Yes.
Like a ton of it.
That's what was going down.
It's right crazy.
Okay. And I want to say one more thing about The Fighter, the movie The Fighter. And again, I don't want anyone to think that I'm taking a shot at the movie The Fighter, which
it's great.
Really thought
Remember
was wonderful.
Remember when Christian Bale jumps out of that window and falls
into the
garbage.
Dumpster, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. Tremendous. I loved The Fighter. So this isn't about The Fighter.
Right.
Just like a couple weeks ago when Cameron Esposito was on, and I said that Chicago was a frozen wasteland but was a really wonderful city. I only meant that the weather was bad. The weather in Chicago is horrible. Everything else about it is great. That's why the rent is so cheap there. Even though it's great, the weather's horrible 9 months out of the year.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm not taking shots at The Fighter here. But I look at his screen, and I can see, you know how it has like an on-screen graphic for the volume? You know what I mean? Like it's with little bars?
Oh, yeah.
It's full. He's got The Fighter cranked to 10.
Does he have Beats by Dre headphones?
I can only presume he did.
Sure.
Yeah.
There was a lot of spillage. I was just hearing, which is what The Fighter sounds like when it's spilling out of someone's earbuds.
Right.
He was listening on earbuds, and I could still hear like dialogue from the film. He's listening so loud. So
I think you just hate the sound of the Boston accent.
He's from Michigan. So he brings out the
characters
in
the Fighter.
In the hit film The Fighter. You're talking about Marky Mark. Fuck that movie. I hated that shit.
Complete turnaround. I love it.
Yeah.
So anyway, he opens up these Jelly Bellies. He's got a phone in one hand, the Jelly Bellies in the other, the iPad in front of him, cranked to 10. He's a husky lad. He's not fat. I don't want to make it seem like this guy was fat.
He's corn
broad.
Fed.
But he was a corn fed
broad.
Fella.
Had some real gams on him.
And he's got, the other thing is, he's in the middle seat, and he's one of these middle seat seaters that he's out. He's going wide.
He's using both armrests.
Yeah. All the way.
Can I just real quick middle seat aside about my last plane trip? I had a situation where my middle seater was a kid who was maybe 12 or 13, like a 12 or 13-year-old boy, and he fell asleep on my shoulder. And like when if like a little kid fell asleep on your shoulder, like that's kind of adorable, but I'm like, is he too old for this to be cute?
Right.
Like, is he just...
Yes. That, I think, is the exact age where you are not cute anymore.
Right.
Like, and it is too old.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if like he was six, like I would look at the mom and we would have a little glance.
Totally.
And she would do like a little, you know,
it's like a little
this
jack-off
kid of mine.
Motion. Yeah.
And I would mouth, he's so cute.
Yeah. You would have already adopted.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I would have murdered the mother.
You'd smell his hair.
Yeah, exactly. Just stick a pinky into his ear.
Sure.
Swab around.
Yeah.
So I had that dilemma.
Sounds like you've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's actually not a thing people do.
Swab around in the
preteen? Never done it.
You gotta.
Yeah.
Guys.
I'm not saying it sounds bad. I'm just saying I've never done it.
Oh, I'm saying it sounds awful.
You'll probably also tell me you've never been to Umami Burger. You gotta go.
See how that's
you gotta
related.
Go to Umami Burger. You gotta swab around in the ear of a preteen.
Seems okay. like different
Wait,
things.
Brian, you haven't done that? You've watched movies about it on the internet.
Never. I've never done either.
You got it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm
so
a real card.
My thing was like, is this kid too old to wake up?
And yeah. is this kid too old to get the
yeah.
one of those?
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So he brings out the Jelly Bellies, just tears this thing open, and he ate these Jelly Bellies like a person whose mother gave him dinner, but then took it away at unexpected intervals.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, would give him a beautiful roast beef dinner and then take it away after. Sometimes she'd leave it for 7 minutes, but sometimes she'd take it away after 90 seconds. He is full on open mouth, and he's got the earphones in, and it's cranked all the way up. I don't think he knew what was going on, but he was seriously... I'm not a person who's into like, oh, you got to be like so, you know, into manners or whatever. We've eaten on this podcast right into the microphones and told people who didn't like it to go fuck themselves.
Right.
But this guy was, he was going into this bag you're going to get some fucking beans out of here.
It was a challenge, even though the bag was his and he had opened it.
Yeah. Well,
somehow there was something to overcome with this bag of Jelly Bellies.
I'll show you, yeah. Candy.
It was as though he was a caveman who had left his obsidian adze at home and had just killed a beast and had to tear out its innards and just eat them with his hands.
Maybe it's a direct effect of the Hunger Games.
Kids
are like, we only have a few moments with actual food, and they just start freaking out.
I have to say, I think this is indicative of, you say this is like a younger generation where they have like two phones and an iPad and consuming a lot of stuff.
They're always
once.
Watching that bullshit movie, The Fighter.
The Fighter.
They love
kids
David O. Russell.
They do.
Yeah.
But they love it.
Legitimately,
the I Heart Huckabees. They love flirting
the
with
canon.
Disaster.
Yes.
You know what? If one more fucking 16-year-old comes to me and wants to tell me about Three Kings, I am done.
That's all they care about.
I am
about.
Fucking done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, you know, I feel like I've seen a lot of articles, and I haven't digested the specifics, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff out there about, like, you can tell a lot about how a person is in the bedroom by how they eat. Apparently that is
really
linked in some way. So maybe this kid was just like sending out vibes to all the ladies on the plane. Hey, I could really go to town on your pussy.
Yeah, I don't want that description. I don't want anyone near my pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy.
I will rip your pussy open and go at it without any control or nuance.
This
no
guy
thanks.
Will be holding two phones.
That's the opposite of giving a woman an orgasm. It's just like, I'm going to do whatever I want without any regard for anybody who's around me.
Well, Aaron, there's something to be
you just bit my labia. Yeah.
There's something to be said for enthusiasm, though, isn't there?
Oh, sure. Just
a jaunty eater is, I think, probably the perfect.
Right. Something dashing.
Something who eats with verve.
Yeah. A certain je ne sais quoi.
Exactly. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
A continental eater.
Someone with a beret.
Yeah, exactly.
A beret and a baguette.
That sounds like my kind of lovemaker.
I'd rather have someone just hit me in my privates with a baguette than have that guy.
So he's eating
it. Is it okay if while he does it, you're on a bicycle built for two?
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
I don't know how that would work. He'd have to be on a skateboard. We'll figure it out.
He can reach back.
Oh, that's
or
good,
he can reach forward yeah. depending on
yeah,
where
just
he is.
Kind of
on the
swat
bike.
You.
This guy was full on making num 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 noises. He's going,
well, maybe that's also like a thing, you know. What are the youngsters like these days more than, you know, memes, GIFs? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think they've seen the GIF or the meme with the cat so much that they think eating just includes the phrase om nom nom.
So I'm over the
How
course
long
of,
is he eating these jelly bellies?
It was a big bag of jelly bellies.
Oh no.
This is like a half hour that he's doing. And so I'm getting, and he's, you know, he's got his arms out. And look, I understand. Like once in a while, I'm in put in a middle seat through no fault of my own. You know, I do anything in my power to get the aisle seat because I literally, as soon as the person in front of me tilts their chair back, I have to go sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to, if I'm not in the aisle, I'm getting up in somebody's business. So I do everything within my power to get in the aisle. But I have a couple times had to sit in a middle seat. And so I understand if you're a big dude, why you would want to be on both armrests. But he was going past the arm. So I'm getting resentful.
Oh, well, I mean, there's so many things to be upset about. The eating in your face,
yeah.
The loud stuff, and the taking up of all the space.
Which is why it was so upsetting to me when at 2 hours and 40 minutes into this 2-3 hour flight, they made us take off our headphones. And this guy starts talking to me, and I don't want to talk to him.
They made you take off your headphones?
So they can land.
They make you so they can land.
Gotcha.
And
you know how that, like, if you have headphones on, the plane will crash?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. It messes with the plane's mechanisms.
Wing patterns.
Wing, mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So.
Updrafts.
Sure.
Props.
Flaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what was most upsetting was not even just that I had to talk to him, but he was a very pleasant young man. But it was very difficult for me to talk to him because
his mouth was full of taffy.
Because I could tell, like, I knew that I was going to need to talk to him about sports because it's just one of those things that it just comes down to it. You're just going to have to talk to this other dude about sports. And I'm cool with sports. I like sports, but I don't follow sports closely anymore because I haven't had cable in a really long time. That's the real reason I don't follow sports that closely. And sports is like the one thing you can't effectively steal from the internet in terms of television.
So you just both sang your favorite songs from Huey Lewis's Sports.
What a timely reference.
Yeah. I'm in the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
Aaron.
Certainly something that young kid knew.
I'm a showbiz mover and shaker. I know kids love Huey Lewis. They love Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Who they only know as a guest star on Hot in Cleveland.
Right, which kids also love.
They love TV Land.
Uh-huh. Aaron.
Yeah, kids love TV Land. Love
the whole lineup.
Aaron.
Brand Drescher is back.
You you really shouldn't judge Jordan. I don't know if you've heard, but it's hip to be square.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another Huey Lewis. Yep.
So I got wrapped into a conversation about about March Madness. And I'm trying to throw other sports things at him. I want to talk about curling. I'm trying to bring it to any kind of sports thing that I know something about because I sure do not follow college basketball. And so I'm thinking about, well, maybe I can talk to him about football. Maybe I can talk to him about we did a show in Ann Arbor a year or two ago. Maybe I can talk to him about university. He didn't go to the University of Michigan.
Oh, but he was wearing.
He's a big supporter.
Fair enough.
And it was the most difficult conversation. And again, this guy was perfectly nice, but it was like it was so hard to talk. And
was he asking you questions or just like talking?
He was very. He was asking me questions, but I think. Here's the thing. Like it was like it was sort of like being at it was sort of like being at a bed and breakfast in a foreign country, and you're seated across the table from someone that is also American, but you have
I think what you've done is you've taken a situation. That's very relatable. We've all been on a plane and had to talk to someone who we
don't have anything in common with.
Right. I think fewer people have been abroad at a bed and breakfast.
You made a relatable situation totally unrelatable by adding Europe to the mix.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, oh, I stubbed my toe. You know, it was kind of like stepping on a stingray in the Bahamas.
In my mind, it was Oaxaca, not Europe. But yes, I understand what you're saying. I know that your mind is very continental in how it works.
Oh, because those are the only kind of people I let near my pussy.
Sure. Yeah, well, with a baguette, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
a sourdough batard.
Try not to just imagine someone just violently hitting me in the vagina with a baguette. You can't do it. You can't not do it.
Okay. That was fine.
Jesse, I have to say, my limit with people eating on planes is so, I have very little patience for it. And that would have, I don't think I could have even had a conversation with that gentleman.
I've never had a conversation about sports with someone on a plane. And I've definitely said, for me, it's always... And I don't
you
even
give
know how
off
we get
a
there.
Real sportsy
I know
vibe.
I do. I know I do. Believe me. But I've never.
You've got an athletic T-shirt on, right?
I do. Oh God! This shirt literally with holes in it. That's Abercrombie and Fitch, which is, I guess, gay athletics. Like, it's not.
That's just sit-ups,
it's
right?
Not real. Exactly.
Shirtless sit-ups.
Working out for literally no reason, for no functional reason. My conversations are always John Grisham, and neither one. I'm never reading a John Grisham book. There's just always a woman who's like, is up on John Grisham, and there have been
are
about
you
50
up on
books.
John Grisham?
No, I know the firm and like the ones that were movies.
Sure, the Pelican Brief.
Exactly, the client. Like, who knows any of the rest?
Sure.
I got roped into a conversation once. There's two people. I was sitting in a 3-person aisle, and the two people sitting next to me were having the most animated conversation. They didn't know each other, and I could just tell that they were really nice. Like, I could tell that it wasn't that they were just being really nice to each other, and they just seemed like they were having such a nice time. But I did not want to be part of it. Like, I wasn't ready to go there. I was ready to be happy for them, but I was not ready to engage it. But they caught me with my headphones out or something. And they asked me what I do, and I told them I'm a public radio host, and they said, oh, what kind of show do you do? And this never goes right. Never goes right. Because they always ask, well, who's been on your show? It always gets to who's been on your show. And I just go down this list of the most famous people I can think of that have ever been on my show in 12 years, and they have not heard of any of them. Zero. You know, I'm just going like, oh, Jenna Fischer from The Office, Andy Richter from the Conan O'Brien show, and just going on and on. Bill Withers, you know, whatever I can think of. Henry Rollins. And I'm like, these people don't know who Henry Rollins
is.
And so then they started talking to me about Jesus. And I was like, God damn it. I didn't say that because that would have been
That would have been very offensive.
Yeah,
well,
been very
speaking
rude.
Of Jesus on a plane, I was... my ex-husband and I'm divorced. Deal with it. We were coming.
You're a gay divorcee.
And that's the name
Aaron,
of TV
no one
land.
Was not dealing with it. Yeah. We were all dealing
no,
with
everyone,
it.
No, everyone.
You didn't
you
have to remind us. We all had dealt with it.
You looked at me. You were like, as soon as I said divorced,
I'm
you were like.
Being judgy.
Yeah. No, you. You could have just been listening, but I instantly read it as judgment.
No, that's fine. I think that's reasonable.
Okay. It's everything I do.
Usually
is,
she wears she literally has a t-shirt that says, I'm divorced, deal with it. It's hilarious.
That's in rhinestones, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then she has another shirt that says, I gave him the skinniest years of my life. Which is much angrier.
And then on the butt of your pants, it says, give me the chocolate and no one gets hurt.
Yeah. It's very, she's like a car wrap.
Wow. Okay. She's just wrapped in slogans.
Exactly.
In sassy slogans.
I don't know. I mean, I don't. I would defend myself, but it's all true.
Sure.
We were coming back from Houston on Easter weekend, and this gentleman in front of us, it was a gentleman, a child, and then the child's grandmother. The gentleman was a stranger. He starts reading the story of David and Goliath to this kid who he doesn't know out loud, very loudly. We're just taxiing.
He just starts engaging him in non-voluntary
scary,
Christianity.
Scary religious
and then
stories.
Was he then did he also try and get the kid to put up Coney posters?
It was very close. If what had happened, what I'm about to tell you hadn't happened, the dude would have been masturbating all over this kid.
Right,
just drunkenly
right,
masturbating. Yeah. Which is what happened to the Coney guy. I don't want to seem like it was a non sequitur. I just like, oh, I'm going to talk about masturbation all this time.
This is shitty to make fun of this guy, but I think can we call public masturbation Coneying now?
Yes,
we should call
we should
getting rid of your invisible children.
Oh yeah, Sure.
Because Coney, that's a real dude.
Sure.
Invisible children.
Can we just call Jism visible children?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Just. So anyway, this guy started doing...
Siemens.
Yes.
Siemens.
Siemens.
This kid started getting really scared, and the grandmother
because
was
he was afraid that giants might be real?
The tone at which this guy was reading the story, and the guy was reading the story out loud for no reason.
I think he was just concerned about the vengefulness of the Hebrew Bible's God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. It became basically a...
Kids understand Old Testament.
Oh, more than anything.
Yeah. If there's one thing kids love more than David O. Russell, it's the Old Testament.
And cheat codes.
There's nothing.
And Huey Lewis. Let's run down what kids like.
Kitties love cubits. That's the rule. Yes.
Sure.
But this kid started crying, and the grandmother was like, can you please stop? You're scaring him. And then the guy got more religious. He's like, he should know this is important. How important is religion in your life? And it got really, activist, I guess, or I don't know what you would call a Christian going nuts on a plane, but
Coneying.
Yeah. And so the flight attendants weren't doing anything, and it just kind of escalated, and I just heard it all going down, and they asked, then finally the grandmother rang the call bell, and then the stewardesses came over, and they were like, it's okay, just sir, can you please stop reading? He didn't. He kept doing it, and basically I called the flight attendants over, and I said, I'm uncomfortable, get this guy off the plane, or get me off the plane. Because who knows? Like, I don't know what this
guy... Right, this guy could flip out.
He could be carrying a sling.
Yes, he could be carrying a sling.
In order to slay a giant or just someone else on the plane.
I didn't think he had a bomb, but I did imagine him punching everyone in the face who didn't believe in Jesus. Regardless...
I think a bomb's more likely.
Yeah, thank you. But post 9/11, you shouldn't be able to get away with that shit.
Sure.
So they stopped the plane, but what they said was, over the announcement, they said, we're going to turn the plane around. Two people from L.A. would like to go back to the gate.
Oh, sure.
I guess not to freak people out, but then everyone... I was pretty clear who was from L.A. I mean, we had on, like, members-only jackets and, like...
And you were blowing rails.
Yeah, it was Ray-Ban.
And talking about your development deals.
Plus, you were in that Corvette convertible.
Yeah, in hot pink.
On the PCH.
So, they got him off the plane. They arrested him. But the stewardesses act like it was not a big deal. I guess because I said to them, I was like, if he was Muslim, this would be a different story altogether. But because he's Christian and you happen to be a church going person, which is fine, you don't see the severity of the situation. So anyway, when I got back home, I called Continental to figure out, because they were going to give us another plane ticket. And the rep said, I told him what happened. And he was like, well, I'm really sorry about that, ma'am, but don't you think in some way it's God's way of getting you back home so you could spend Easter with your mom?
Oh, shit. Oh, Continental.
Oh, man.
Folksy.
And it's tough because...
Can't win.
It's tough because they're just trying to be nice.
But they don't... He didn't understand what he said.
It would also be so convoluted of God to do that. Like, to take out a guy who was reading a story from the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, it's so backward. Like,
God
it's very complicated.
Mysterious ways,
yes,
Brian.
Yes, fair enough.
Well, God is your passive-aggressive aunt.
Right.
Can I take a second to restore America's faith in
Please.
Airplanes
yes.
now that we've shaken it? The good news is that on my other plane flight...
You've been on more than two?
Well, one each way. I took the Greyhound out, and luckily they were so impressed they bought me a flight back.
You are very impressive.
PRI are very, very generous people. On the other flight, there was a big scruffy dog, and I was sitting in my seat, and the dog just went trotting along down the aisle past me, like dogs are, as though dogs are allowed on airplanes.
I feel like I've been on.
Where was the dog?
It was just. It was a big dog. It was like a hearing service dog, which I didn't know was a type of service dog. But
I was on the plane with a tiny dog. It was an elderly woman had a tiny dog, and the dog was wearing a vest that said "emotional health animal." So
that's how you do it. That's how you.
Isn't
get
that
a dog.
Every animal?
Yeah,
to me, like that's every dog or cat.
Yeah, this is my emotional health boa constrictor.
Right.
Do I need to say boa constrictor? Or can I just say boa?
I think constrictor.
Well,
because you think feather boa.
I would assume feather boa.
Yeah.
In your
especially
case,
emotional.
Jordan.
Right. Exactly.
You're not that sportsy, Jordan.
Yeah.
You're not that sportsy.
There's several people who walk around LA with animals wrapped around their, snakes wrapped around their neck, and then I've seen a man with a parrot on Fountain Avenue.
A man with a parrot is just, that's a sad scene. Right? That's just, that's worse than a recumbent bicycle.
Yeah. I feel like man with a parrot, all I can think is you're also a hoarder.
Right.
And you know what I mean? I feel like it's something, bird odors in general, I think there's a problem.
Did you hear this American Life episode about the woman with the pet parrot? The thing about parrots, here's the thing about having a pet parrot that's different from a boa constrictor or another crazy person's pet animal, is a parrot is really smart, bonds really, really, really strongly with its owner, and also, many of them can live to be like 40 years old. And so basically, when you buy a parrot, you're buying it for life. For your life, because it bonds to you. And in the This American Life piece, the woman's parrot, she got married, and the parrot would attack her husband and children.
Oh my God.
But they couldn't just euthanize it or something because she loved it. It had like lived with her for 10 years before she met the husband.
Yes, and a bird is more important than your own children.
Well, it wasn't winning the fights against the children.
Children were swatting it to the ground.
I just imagine a whole family with pecked out eyes.
That honestly would be my nightmare. That would be my nightmare. That's terrible.
Being attacked by a parrot.
Just a bird in my house, so colorful. Period. Yeah. I just can't do it. Something that gets higher than you.
No, sure.
I'm not doing it.
What's it doing up there? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe something good.
It's not right, Jordan. It's not.
It's no, I agree.
What a crazy thing to have a problem with.
I have a problem with cats for the same reason.
Because they can get up higher.
They can get up higher, and at that point, I'm losing.
Sure. That's why I'm so afraid of rapper Jim Jones.
Yes.
He flies so
exactly.
You know that.
Of course. You just don't want anything above you.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, smart, sarcastic, and just a bit of real.
I'm Brian Safi. I'm homosensual.
Hi, I'm Erin Gibson, and I love routers.
It's not true. You just saw my router over there.
No, can I do it again?
Yeah. Brian did your thing from your guys' show. Why don't you
I want to talk about curtains and eagle statues and water glasses.
Okay, so you are looking at stuff in the room. Looking at stuff in the room.
You're just saying stuff, Erin. Jeez Louise.
I'm feminasty.
Are you guys tired of your nicknames already?
I don't know. We say it a lot.
Well, welcome to our world.
Yeah, I know. We've been saying it for 12 years for no reason. It's just some dumb shit we thought of when we were 19.
But at that point, don't you think there's no attachment? You just say it and there's no emotion because you're just
dead about
it?
But here's the problem. What happens is we have no feelings left for it. Right, Jordan? Wouldn't you say that...
It's a loveless marriage.
Yeah, we have nothing left
there. I'm getting a little piece on the side from another nickname.
People who like our show,
I'm fucking another nickname.
Probably most of them probably like it. They probably have it. It's close to their heart. You know what I mean? And then people who haven't heard our show think these are the two biggest assholes. And what the fuck are these people doing?
That's true.
I have a new one. So,
dude, what is it?
The sarcastic,
smart, sarcastic,
one.
And just a bit of real.
Oh, okay.
It was Jordan Morris, Boy Detective before.
I remember,
but I've changed it.
Okay,
so.
Jordan, there's something I need to talk to you about.
Yes.
Because last week on the program, we mentioned where you were when you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you went on a nationwide tour as the co-host of a web series for a men's related stuff website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm summarizing it reasonably accurately.
It was penthouse.com.
Was it really?
It was not. It was thrillist.com.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I'm going to send the videos to Guccione, get Guccione's people to watch them, and then maybe like next year I can do a similar thing, but like with pussy.
I've been telling Jordan and Jordan's agent, you got to get the Gooch.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, once you
is
got
that
the
what you
Gooch,
call him? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I call Bob Guccione.
Okay.
Legendary pornographer, Bob Guccione.
Is he dead?
Probably.
I feel like he is dead.
He might be dead.
Yeah.
Of syphilis.
I don't know it, but I feel it.
I do too.
can I ask you? What if you were a channeler, but only for famous pornographers?
You know, I've often thought that when I was born, my grandmother said that I would be. Yes.
I'm getting something.
Brian, what's going on with Seymour Butts?
I was about to say, I don't know any famous dead pornographers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one famous pornographer related question before we get into this.
No, story. Please, yes,
of course, yeah.
So, you guys live here in Los Angeles? You've seen the Larry Flint building,
yeah,
yes,
which is where, I mean, I guess Larry Flint Media is mostly Hustler magazine, right?
I can't think of anything.
No, he does a couple of mom blogs.
Yeah. But I mean,
he invented Pinterest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then there's also Lil Hustler for
yes.
kids.
But there's a huge sign outside of the Hustler building, the Larry Flint building, that says Larry Flint Industries, or what is, you know what I mean? And underneath it says Hustler Magazine, Hustler.com, you know, Hustler Video, and then Larry Flint Aviation.
Wow.
You know, there's a landing pad on the top of that building.
Yeah.
That must be Larry Flint. He was just looking at the list of things, and he's like, you know what? We need one not pussy related thing
also,
on this list.
Yeah, but the website is not. It doesn't count as a separate industry. It's like this. It's like your magazine, an extension of your magazine.
Right.
He's like, what?
There's a lot of flash games on
oh,
it.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. I've heard this too about the building. If you do land on it, it's supposedly shaped like a vagina.
Oh.
So if you notice it's a curved building.
From the air, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's like a pointy oval I haven't seen it, but sure. Apparently that's the rumor.
A pointy oval is a way to describe a vagina.
You know.
That's exactly what my vagina looks
just
like.
Picture a pointy oval and a baguette.
Just
right. Slamming.
And the baguette is slamming yeah. into the oval. Obviously, when that building was bought, Hustler was, you know, the thing to jerk off to.
Right.
I think he built that building.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Brick by brick?
Yeah. Well, he's in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
he built the first floor.
He did just the brick. Oh, I don't. Oh, God.
But, now that's kind of just office space. I mean, I think Hustler is there, but I think
I've talked to people
who's like, oh yeah, I had a job. You know, if people need a quickie office space for a short-term job, you can work in the Hustler building.
That's
I've talked
a
to people.
Good you need building a for
quickie office
quickie
space.
Office.
For
yeah, right.
Short-term job, huh? What kind of job would you say it might be, Jordan?
Oh, I think you can go into one of the broom closets and jack off.
Oh, well, that's specific. You know. I wish you'd use a little more. You know.
Oh, I was. I should
illusion.
I should have been cuter with.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But
I winked when I said it.
You did. That doesn't work on podcasts, but...
And I glanced over my shoulder coyly.
Hustler building aside, Jordan, I really am interested
oh,
in
sure.
learning about...
So you
had to like get in a car and drive
yeah,
across
part
the country.
Of this
oh,
thing
awful.
Was, yeah, part of this thing was driving from L.A. to New York, and which is something I've always wanted to try, so it was nice to get paid for it. So I just have kind of a couple of stray observations about America.
Yeah.
That I just wanted to share with everybody.
Number one, it's prone to helping you develop deep vein thrombosis.
Mm-hmm.
Some concerns about blood clots in your rear.
Mm-hmm.
Because your butt's in a seat the whole time?
Yeah.
Or because of the fat food?
The butt in the seat plus the only restaurant from here to New York is Sonic. That got,
or maybe
do
you
they
have
roller
that-
skate there?
I don't, you know, I,
they used
good
to.
Question. I don't,
And is every television everywhere still playing America's Funniest Home Videos? Because I feel like that's all I hear is the theme. When I hear middle America, I always just hear the America's Funniest Home Videos theme song every time.
Yeah. So here are some things. Here's something we did. So kind of part of the video series was, us kind of stopping in fun cities and doing like fun activities.
Right.
And the thing we did in Vegas, it was a little tricky for Vegas because it was sponsored by a car company and therefore you couldn't drink. So you couldn't even like have alcohol in the shot. So that kind of eliminates...
What about prostitutes?
Yeah, you could have them in the shot as long as they didn't have any logos for competing car companies.
I see. No, so no Honda prostitutes.
So no, I could not fuck the famous Honda whores.
Right.
I've always wanted to and I'm like, when am I going to be back here? So yeah, so if so, you know, they had to kind of do some other Vegas-y stuff. And one of the things we did was we flew. I shouldn't say flew because I didn't fly it, but I rode around in a tiny World War I style airplane.
Oh,
that sounds cool.
Pretty cool.
It was yes, it was cool.
Wait, rode around, not flew.
Yeah. Well, I guess when I say I don't want to say I flew it because a guy who was sitting behind me flew it while he whacked me in the crotch with the baguette.
Mm-hmm. Seems dangerous.
It was. So you're in this tiny kind of World War I plane. And before I got into it, I asked the guys, you know, do people ever get sick? Because, you know, kind of part of it is you go in it, you do some loop the loops, figure eights. Barrel rolls, and
you're inside, not on the wing, right?
You're not like a famous tap dancing Rockette.
Yeah.
And
this isn't what was that show called? DuckTales? No, that's the wrong one.
No, DuckTales.
Did DuckTales have aerial?
Darkwing Duck? We were talking about that earlier. Darkwing Duck?
Is it DuckTales?
I believe DuckTales is aviation. From... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Hmm.
Aviation.
I'm
that's very continental.
No, I'm
you.
Very
yes.
French.
So anyway, so we have this. So he's like, so the guy's position on it was like, listen, it's happened a couple of times, but you know, there's a sick bag in front of you. But honestly, you know, you have a little walkie-talkie to the captain. If you're starting to feel sick, just let him know. He'll even out until you feel better, and then we'll keep going. So great, I'm super, super at ease at this point. R.E., will I puke? And so we get up in the thing, and he's just fucking going crazy, just doing loop the loops, and I start to feel sick. So I just say in my little thing, in my walkie-talkie, I'm like, hey, I'm starting to feel a little sick. Can we even out? And the guy just fucking ignores me. The guy keeps doing loop the loops.
What?
Crazier loop the loops, and like pretends to crash the plane. And like the whole time I'm going, I'm getting sick. I'm getting sick. And so he's just going nuts, and I...
That is an outrage.
I puke into this bag, and you know, they're filming, you know, and so the thing has 30 more minutes to go. So I'm riding around in this thing just puking every 2 minutes, and to the point where it was dry heaves and then, like, bile and just the worst... Like, the worst situation.
The good news is your humors are balanced.
Exactly. I got rid of some of that black bile that was making me fussy. I was being a real bitch before I left, right?
Right.
And now I'm sunnier because I got rid of some of that black bile. And when we got to the bottom, I went up to him and I'm like, hey, I thought you said you would level out if I got sick. And I wasn't being confrontational about it because, you know, he's an Air Force guy, probably has a gun. But he's like, hey, God, I am really sorry about that. The guy who was producing it just told me to keep going even if you got sick. Right?
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
See, now if it was the Red Baron Pizza Squadron, I have gone up with the Red Baron Pizza Squadron.
Oh, here we go. Just a fucking another excuse for you to name drop the Red Baron Pizza Squadron. What? Where will you shoehorn this story into next?
Captain Johnson from the Red Baron Pizza Squadron, he didn't even do any loop-de-loops when I told him not to do any loop-de-loops because I'm fucking terrified of heights. But I figured if somebody calls your college radio station and says, does anyone want to go in an airplane with the Red Baron Pizza Squadron, you got to say yes, right?
Did you come close to death? Did he pretend to crash the plane?
No, he was not an asshole.
I get the impression this guy flying the plane wasn't the asshole in that situation.
What'd you say to your producer?
We had a sensitive conversation about it. Yeah. So yeah, I guess my
Jordan
thing is that,
revealed
like,
that he has gonorrhea.
Exactly. And
yeah, your conversation had nothing to do about
the plane.
I was
fucking him that he has gonorrhea as well. Yeah, no, I guess that's the thing is like I get that it's better TV or internet TV if somebody pukes, you know. You can film a couple guys having fun on a vacation that you're not on, and you can watch that. Or you can watch some fucking goon puke.
Isn't it better if you know that's going to happen, though?
That's something you can fake.
Yeah.
Right.
I can go blah into a bag, and then we can fill it up with, you know, cottage cheese or someone else's puke.
Yep. oh, I like the someone else's puke idea.
Yeah. just punch some other buddy else in
you
the stomach.
You could pay a day laborer to vomit in a bag.
Absolutely. They'll be glad to have the work.
Mm-hmm. What
and they're a nauseous people anyway.
What kind of nausea? Because that's a different kind of nausea than being like drunk, right? Or is it the same?
Well, I mean, their lives they're just nausea inducing. You know, it's a hot sun all day.
No, I legitimately want to know what it
day
feels
labor
like
is really difficult.
Right before you're about to throw up in this plane.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
What, sorry, ask me the question again.
So I thought
too busy
we were still talking about
kind
the day laborers.
No, yeah, I want to know what, like, lichen.
It's because
the
they don't necessarily get the chance to eat regular meals, but they're doing difficult physical labor.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, Erin's fully schooled in that. I mean, she...
Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, because she's had to use fake vomit to get out of a ton of pickles.
Yeah.
She just goes to Home Depot and with bags and stores it.
Well, what I do is,
ironically, she has to go with a barrel of pickles.
Right. Exactly.
Because that, you know, it's kind of one of those things that, like, sometimes a dog doesn't look like a dog on camera.
Right.
So a lot of vomit doesn't look like vomit unless it's pickle vomit.
Right. I actually haven't paid for anything in 6 years since I've known about this trick. I just get up to the register. They're like, it'll be $116, please. And I'll go, okay. But then I'll just start vomiting.
Right.
And then I just walk out with the products.
Oh, right. Terrific.
Yeah.
Then you end up with valuable products and services.
Right.
Sometimes it has a little bit of vomit on it.
Yeah. Oh, always.
Nice jacket, by
the
way.
That is a nightmare. Like, the number one thing when I went in that airplane, because I'm genuinely,
sure,
I'm not afraid of airplanes at all. But I am horrified of heights.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm
airplanes,
afraid of flying.
It's open cockpit.
Oh, yeah. Mine was not. I had a little dome on mine.
Okay,
so
mine was totally open. So yeah. I could have fallen out of. I mean, I couldn't have because I was strapped into it.
Right.
But if they go upside down.
No, I can't.
And there's nothing between you and the ground tens of thousands of feet away. There's nothing standing between you and Watsonville.
And you're trusting a buckle?
The day laborers picking the fruits of Watsonville.
Yes. Just hearing about it makes me want to, like, I could faint right now.
Yeah.
Just, like, no way. Just knowing any of that. It's terrifying.
Before you throw up, are you thinking, I'm going to die?
At no point did I think I was going to die.
Even when he was fake crashing the...
Yeah. I think that's kind of part of the benefit of being nauseous and vomiting during this. You're not really thinking about anything other than, I'm puking.
Right.
You're not really concerned about greater safety issues.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, to be honest, my ride was so smooth with the Red Baron Pizza Squadron, my friends in the Red Baron Pizza Squadron.
Oh, now they're your friends, Red Baron Pizza Squadron.
What's their email address?
I was concerned. I'll give it to you later.
Okay.
I'll give you their cell phone number.
I feel like they would have a pager. Is that wrong to assume?
Well, in case of emergencies.
Right, right.
What if they're at the movies and somebody needs to call?
Good.
Get in there. There's a sad housewife.
And she's got hungry kids.
They gave me a certificate at the end of mine. Did you get a certificate at all?
No, I didn't. I did have a bag of my own barf.
So this is really a double whammy, this situation.
Yeah.
You barf the whole time and
on camera,
no certificate.
That people will be able to watch on the internet.
Did you get any coupons for free frozen pizza?
I didn't,
I got like three or four frozen pizzas out of this thing.
I have a question about the Red Baron.
Yeah.
When he delivers pizzas, do they have parachutes on them and they just land?
I thought your question was going to be, your question about the Red Baron was going to be, when he delivers pizza, does he first repudiate the Weimar Republic?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. But now that you've mentioned it, of course that should have been my
correct
question.
I was going to ask, do the guns on the plane shoot pizza?
Yeah.
Like liquid pizza?
Is my history correct there? Is that the World War
I? I don't know.
One?
It doesn't,
the Prussian,
that's...
the King of Prussia, maybe?
If you want to talk about the Great Boer War, I can do that.
Okay.
But World War One, that's where. That's were a little gap in my.
Were there any fun facts about
knowledge?
The plane? Like, this killed this many Japs.
No,
this was like
in aviation, that's called a fun slur.
Yeah.
They were replicas. So this was kind of in the style of a World War One plane.
That's an industry.
I don't think we were fighting the Japanese.
No.
Well, World War One? You don't know that.
Well,
I don't know. That's true. I think we've established I don't know a lot about World War One.
Yeah,
he wasn't fighting the Japanese. The Japanese are safely ensconced in the internment camps, okay. as I understand.
right.
Again, my history is not as strong as it could be, but this is based on what I know about the Boer War.
Okay.
Can I move on to another observation about America?
Next observation about America. Number three.
So
Jordan Morris's observation about America. Number three.
This is actually maybe the last one. I had no other thoughts except for these two. And the other one wasn't really a thought. It was a story. So.
Well, you had that Sonic thing at the top.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That was clever.
You didn't know whether there was roller skates.
That's true. We didn't actually stop at a Sonic. I feel a little bit like...
Oh, you didn't have a banana cream pie shake?
I probably should have.
You didn't get a Buster
bar? They're
known
for their desserts, right? They're kind of creative.
Yeah. And their drinks. Did they you have get like, a... They were the original of like the cherry
lime. Oh, they'll
have
like a cherry
thing.
Dr. Pepper right. or a lime Dr. Pepper.
Did you get a Buster bar at a DQ?
No,
go to
I didn't.
A DQ, get a Buster bar?
Yeah, I maybe fucked up in the like regional fast food area. I should have stopped at a Hardee's. Should have stopped at a Whataburger.
Oh, yeah, you should have. Or and a Taco Cabana.
Oh, yeah, totally. My my co-host is from Oklahoma and was talking about Taco Cabana all the time.
It's pretty delicious.
I did eat at a Cracker Barrel.
Do you guys remember when Taco Cabana took on Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania in 1984?
How could we forget?
That's the most racist WrestleMania ever.
And that is an achievement.
Yes, because it's pretty racist.
Yeah, he took on the Crimson Blackie.
Mm-hmm.
he was red with blood from slavery.
No, yes.
So part of my...
He just threw chains around. That was his deal.
So part of my thing included a few days in New Mexico.
He lost. Oh. He lost because he was too lazy.
Thank you. Yep. Way to bring it around.
That's WWF's thing, not mine.
Right.
No,
yeah.
I know. No.
I'm against the racism of professional wrestling of the 1980s.
Yes.
Iron Sheik, the whole nine yards.
Thank God someone is.
So we were in New Mexico for a bit, which is the setting for Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm. Also the home of Green Chili.
And Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, all of that. Yes.
This hell of a
there is, and there is one restaurant that's devoted to all three of those things.
Yes.
And it is confusing there. And I don't know what was going on.
There's just a sign when you enter New Mexico with a bullet point list.
And the Breaking Bad one is really new. Like, the other ones are faded. And the Breaking Bad one looks like it's only been there a few years.
Yeah.
They crossed out turquoise jewelry.
They're the most proud of the Breaking Bad one.
Right, exactly. They're like, well... So I've always really, really liked Breaking Bad, but a problem I always had with the show... do you guys watch it? I know, Jesse, you don't...
I haven't seen all of them.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't either. You've seen one or two? Not at all?
No, I've never seen it because of my rule against descents into.
Okay.
Enjoying watching descents into. That's a rule for entertainment. I don't watch anything that's a descent into something.
So you only watch the news and reality shows?
No. There's lots of shows that aren't a descent into something.
Good name.
Desperate Housewives. You watch Desperate Housewives?
I watch nothing but Desperate Housewives.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Well, when I'm not watching
March Madness. To be fair, that can be a descent into bitchiness.
Yeah.
Do you think Nicolette Sheridan was killed off on purpose?
Oh, I sure hope so.
The answer of someone who doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I hate that bitch.
Yeah.
She was always doing
didn't
that
really
different
recently
stuff.
Didn't the Supreme Court recently spoil the fact that she died?
Anyway. Yeah. Can we talk about New Mexico, though? Because I'm done with Nicolette Sheridan.
Yeah, I think we probably let it go on too long, honestly.
If we're not going to talk about Felicity Huffman, the next best thing is New Mexico.
Yeah.
So a problem I always had with Breaking Bad are the dirt bags on the show, specifically how they're costumed. We talked a little bit about this phenomenon. We were talking about the Jackie Chan movie Rumble in the Bronx. It's kind of like, you know, there's just this generic dirt bag template or this box of mishmash dirt bag costumes.
Right.
And, you know, like the characters will have raver pants, but then a leather jacket and then a do-rag. But also like a mesh shirt on underneath it. And it seemed like, I'm like, well, you know, this show is great, but whoever is costuming these dirt bags just has no, you know, regard for the fact that there are kinds of dirt bags. And it always kind of bothered me. And it's like, well, you know, it's like, why is the Cholo hanging out with the punk rock guy? And it always just kind of irked me.
Why is the country and western guy wearing that FUBU jersey?
Right. Exactly. It was totally stuff like that. And it seemed like, you know, it, it you know, a good portion of the show kind of happens in that dark, seedy, dirtbag underworld, and it always was, it was something I just had to get over. Now, after having spent time in New Mexico, I think whoever dresses those dirtbags should get an Emmy, because...
Is that how they dress?
It was amazing. Like,
not all New Mexicans, the dirtbag community.
There was a lot of New Mexico that was really, really nice. And,
New Mexico is an amazing state.
It was terrific. But there were a lot of dirtbags, and they were all dressed in crazy mishmash outfits. A lot of, like, JNCOs.
Oh, JNCOs.
Yeah, exactly. But then
I
also,
own stock
like,
in JNCO, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. So it is still alive and well in New Mexico. I don't think they're buying these JNCOs new.
Oh, well, that's bad for business.
Yeah. I shorted JNCO and went all in on Zee Cavaricci.
Oh, that's really smart business.
Mm-hmm. But yes, a lot of and multiracial gangs of dirtbags too. It's like usually the
ethnicities by rights should be separate.
well, with dirtbags.
If WWF has taught us anything, but yeah, it seems like you don't see too many multiracial gangs of dirtbags, except in New Mexico, where it seems like all these guys have just pooled all their weird looking clothes, dressed up, and now walk around looking vibrating.
They're
all vibrating.
It's pretty resourceful.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And open-minded. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's sort of like a multicultural utopia is what you're describing.
It is a little bit.
So
yeah.
Dirtbags are better than us as far as like regular people who don't
don't see color.
Right, that's what, yeah.
Right.
This sounds like a society.
Because their retinas are detached.
Yes.
Because of all the meth.
Yeah,
this sounds like a society for us and by us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. A real FUBU.
Did you have any run-ins?
No, I mean, the dirtbags were
polite.
Oh, you know, this is really funny. This we were parked somewhere. I think we were just parked at a McDonald's, and this kind
of course you were.
Old dirtbag.
Man or woman?
Man.
Oh.
An old male dirtbag. He was driving a... God, yeah, and it's so funny. He was a white guy, and he was driving a crazy airbrushed van.
Sure.
Which is maybe not something you
Sunset
think
Sunset or Dolphins?
I think Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
I think Warrior.
Feathers and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, white guy dirtbag, like jean jacket, no shirt.
Love it.
It would be better if you had said that it was a Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah,
that was
right.
On this side. It was La Malinche painted on yes. The side.
And he comes up, he came up to us. We were just like switching some gear from one car to the other. And he's like, hey. Are you fellas bachelors? And we're like, yep. He's like, ha ha, I know bachelors when I see them. And like walked into the McDonald's.
That is fucking
That's
brilliant.
That's wonderful.
It was great.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that guy could just go ahead and walk onto the set of Breaking Bad and do that and not look out of place.
But that's what I like about, that's a perfect crazy person encounter, because if you go one more step from, are you guys bachelors? I know bachelors when I see them. Then it just turns into like something you don't want to be a part of. But that's a brilliant 5-minute interaction
yeah.
with someone who's crazy.
I mean, I don't know if he was trying to like cruise us or something.
No, he just
Are
wanted to
bachelors?
he wanted to have something sassy to
you
say.
You made his day. From that point on, he remembered his days as
He's
a bachelor.
Like, ah, I still got it.
Yeah.
I still got
yeah.
my bachelor detection talent.
Yep.
And then he walked in and ordered 6 McRibs.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd love for him to just reach into his pants and pull out a stag film reel, just like unspooled, and just hold it up to the light.
Yes.
You boys want to see a nun suck a dog's dick?
Yeah.
See, that's what I mean. One more step and it's too crazy.
I think I know exactly. bachelors.
Yeah.
If I know bachelors, they want to see a nun suck a dog's dick. FUBU. Cross colors.
All that. Yeah, that's...
So Bugle
that's,
Boy.
That might be... That might be the only... What else you got? Miller's Outpost. I don't know.
L.L. Bean.
Yeah.
County C.
L.L. Bean. Aaron Gibson just said L.L. Bean.
We're running out of...
Yeah, L.L. Bean, the clothing of thugs.
Oh, so you fellas bachelors, then. Everybody into my Volvo. Yeah.
Now you're from Maine.
Let's head down to the coast.
Oh, I love a thug in a Volvo with
wearing L.L. Bean.
Fresh jam.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's one of those lobster dirt bags.
Yes.
Gotta go empty the traps. And then snort some glue to get fucked up.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Don't touch my keys.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Homosensual Brian Safi.
Feminasty Aaron Gibson.
That was, see, isn't it fun that we all did our right ones?
Yeah,
that,
that was
better.
Fun. It felt good. Yeah. I didn't.
That felt as good as a nice baguette to the snack.
Thank God.
Why is using all
actually baguette to the snatch is the should be the right way to say it, because that sounds the best. Actually,
I haven't lost it the whole time, and that made me lose my shit.
Okay,
Jesse, please use the less offensive bun to the gash.
Disgusting. I picked up a really old joke book the other day, and what the joke was, what do you call a tampon? What's another term for tampon? And it was a gash mask. Horrifying.
Oh, wow.
It was from like the 70s. Did you pick this up out of the
garbage? Basically. It was disgusting.
You stole it from Milton Berle.
Yeah. No, it was like
you
from that era.
You pushed down Milton Berle.
Yes.
Is he alive?
I feel that he's not.
Uh-huh. Is this just a podcast
he's
where
a
we
pornographer,
talk,
right?
We talk about people who might or may or may not be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to take this moment to recognize our sponsors. First sponsor this week, Ask Metafilter.
Hey.
Welcome, Ask Metafilter.
Welcome,
sponsor
Metafilter.
This week. I thought it would be fun for me to just read. Ask Metafilter is this website, great website, where people ask questions and get answers. It's sort of like What If Yahoo Answers or something like that wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
It is like
was
actually
it run by goth 12-year-olds.
Yeah, yes. It is actually really consistently superb. They've sure. like set it up so that it really works right, and people give you really like I've asked any kind of crazy question and gotten perfect answers. And anytime I don't know something, I always first I Google it on Ask Metafilter. But these are questions that the answer that there are answers to on Ask Metafilter right now. Number one. What is the name of that song about a werewolf in love?
Mm-hmm. What is it?
There's two answers. Let's see. Somebody's going to have the answer. The Werewolf, as sung by Cat Power, original by Michael Hurley. Or the next suggestion is Falling in Love with the Wolf Boy? Question mark. there's the other one that I really liked is My Girlfriend is Hoping to Get a Mohawk. Any tips?
But any tips is the question.
Yeah.
For talking her out of the mohawk, for how to mohawk maintenance.
There's a big explanation here. There is a big explanation. To their credit, there is a big explanation. And I hope that there's also a big explanation to the next question underneath that, which is, what are these large metal objects?
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, so I think Ask Metafilter is the best. You can find it online at ask.metafilter.com. If you have some weird question, like I was just looking for weekend getaway spots near Los Angeles, typed it into Ask Metafilter, found two great threads with lots of valuable information from non-idiots. So
terrific.
Wonderful website. Up on the Jumbotron this week. Oh, first of all, we have a commercial message. Beyond the Twilight, a short story collection from the mind of Christopher Meyer. The Christopher Meyer? Yes. The Christopher Meyer.
Wait, so Stephanie Meyer?
The author of Twilight is Stephanie Meyer. This has Twilight in it. Is this her weird brother?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
From coin flips to cannibalistic eating contests, this collection of story offers something for the different-minded. Different is in quotes. I don't know what that means. It's upsetting. If you've laughed or even have just been offended one time by Jordan Jesse Go, this book is for you.
All right.
That's Christopher Meyer's opinion. I think you should give it a shot.
Sure.
I'm not.
Whether or not you're offended by the program, which is offensive.
It was offensive, especially when we started talking about those made-up 80s WWF guys. That was offensive.
Yeah,
sure.
But funny.
And also satirical. That was satire.
Mm-hmm.
That was some satirical ass shit. We do not support that racism. That was a WWF's thing.
Do you think satire's dead?
I don't know.
I'm not going into that.
You want an excuse to talk about Doonesbury. Just about how Jesse's always trying to shoehorn in the Red Baron Pizza Patrol.
She has in her sweaty little paw, she has a 3x5 card full of Spiro Agnew jokes.
Yes.
Yep.
She needs to get to. Okay, we have one more up on the Jumbotron. This is from Zach. Oh, this is This one's a personal. I love personal ads on Jordan Jesse Go. I love it when the Jumbotron has people looking for love.
They're a lot of fun.
Okay. Greetings, fellow Jordan Jesse Go fans. I'm a 28-year-old journalist in Washington, D.C.
Hi.
Yeah, sounds good so far.
Sounds good, right? I'm an outdoor guy.
That's a career that's on the rise.
Yes.
I'm an outdoor guy in that I like running, skiing, going to the beach, and checking out new bars slash restaurants. The last one
this
is
guy
not,
sounds great.
The last one is not part of being an outdoor guy,
no.
but I'm going to let
no.
it slide.
After that sentence, he has in parentheses, patios only.
Yes.
But I'm also a homebody in the sense that I like staying in and listening to Led Zeppelin while taking bubble baths.
This guy sounds great.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Yes. The most relaxing music for a bubble bath.
I'm looking for a cool girl to take to concert. And I'm going to guess that it went ahead and that it cut him off there and said, go take to concerts and so on and so forth. Here's what you can do. If you think it might be nice to meet Zach and you're in Washington, D.C., or if you just want to, you know, email with him, you know, get a picture of him, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
a lot of times people will post a picture of themselves in the forum thread for the show. But
let's be honest, it's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, let's get real. This guy's probably at least a 9.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. that description alone.
I mean, he
great.
Skis.
Yeah, this guy's
outdoor stuff. When have you met an unattractive skier? Go ahead. Name an unattractive skier.
You can't.
Can't do it.
I can't think Peekaboo Street is a skier.
Well,
that's as far as I can get.
Right. But I, and also skiers usually have some money.
That's true. Yeah, it is.
So he probably does pretty well.
What's the famous skate? What's the famous snowboard guy?
Oh, the one that looks like Carrot Top? Sean White. Yeah.
He was on a pack of gum at the grocery store.
Yes, Spirit.
Why?
Like, why would you put celebrity goofus Sean White on a pack of gum?
Also,
that.
Isn't he like X Games like territory? Why would you put on spearmint gum? No, kids don't eat that.
He's an Olympic gold medalist.
I know, but he doesn't appeal to like... Who eats spearmint gum? Like accountants and divorcees?
Smokers. I think they probably tried to like dress up the spear. I think it's probably called like Arctic Blast.
Right. Okay.
So if you want to maybe meet Zach or email with him or whatever, this is how we do it. Anonymous styles. Just email jjgo@maximumfun.org, which is our email address, and put message for Zach in the subject line. And just say whatever you want, you know, talk about fun stuff. You know, Washington, D.C. is a fun town. I used to work at Borders there, you know?
Oh,
I lived there for a year. I love D.C.
It is fun. I found George F. Will's Newsweek. You know, crazy shit can happen. Crazy shit can happen in Washington, D.C. You never know when you're going to see James Carville, you know?
Yeah.
That guy's
a lot of local celebrities. A lot of fun local celebrities.
Also, a lot of microbrews there.
Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah.
Hot microbrews.
I did get in an argument with someone when I was in Washington, D.C. about the city and how she was like, I was like, well, I don't think I could live here, but it's very interesting to visit. And she was like, well, there's so much history here. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I just came off as the dumbest LA person. Like, well, we have tacos.
They got some good empanadas in Washington, D.C.
Mm.
Your go-to lunch in Washington, D.C., I recommend if you're downtown, empanada.
Mm.
I don't know how that worked out.
Maybe this is a romantic date.
Yeah.
Oh, get some empanadas.
Empanada.
Skiing and empanadas.
Sure.
So if you want to meet
at the same time.
If you want to meet Zach, email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org and just put message for Zach in the subject line. And besides that, if you want to get up on the Jumbotron, it is cheap. It is easy. Just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. If you want to sponsor an episode of Jordan Jesse Go, just email Teresa@MaximumFun.org. Hey, I've got a couple of quick things that I want to mention here, Jordan.
Sure.
Number one, we're looking for an events intern here at MaximumFun.org. We have a new event director, Nick White, who's also the editor of Bullseye. And he is going to be working on Max FunCon as well as some secret projects that I can't yet describe, but you will know all about it.
Eugenics.
You're at the events.
It's eugenics.
Well, it's actually sex furniture. It's one of those, like ottomans.
Sex furniture is worse than eugenics.
What's worse, sex furniture or eugenics?
Sex furniture is pretty good.
What if
it helps you penetrate deeper?
Yeah. What if sex furniture was part of your eugenics scheme?
Oh, I can make that happen.
Like sex furniture that rejected the feeble-minded.
Yeah. You have to do an IQ test before you can step on.
That would be the most frustrating thing in the world.
Well, when you said step on, I think you were maybe had something else in mind. With this sex furniture, you get in.
Oh.
It's a pod.
What is that?
It's a pod that fucks you.
Oh.
Anyway, about the internship. If you're,
best segue.
If you're interested in learning all about how...
And getting penetrated super deep.
How Maximum Fun works and, you know, all that different kind of stuff. And you're interested in Max FunCon and how Max FunCon works and putting together the thing, you'll be working directly with Nick and me here at Max Fun World Headquarters, and you get all the t-shirts and leftover USB drives from last year's Max Fun drive that you want. Email Nick@MaximumFun.org, and he will get you the link for all of the application details. But do it quickly because the application deadline is nigh. I do not remember exactly what it is, but it is approaching very quickly. So email Nick@MaximumFun.org, and he will hook you up. Also, I want to mention one other thing, which is another new Max Fun show. This is a show that Jordan and I did a pilot for a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sort of had it out there. We sort of sneakily social mediated it up on SoundCloud a little bit, but we've actually added it to the iTunes store now.
It's actually part of the viral marketing for the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of a...
It's called Webs and Things.
It's like Linens and Things, but for
right,
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right.
Which the fans of both cross over a lot.
There is a lot of crossover.
People
there,
who love
yeah.
Linens and Things love Spider-Man.
They do.
We were going to call it Webs, Bab, and Beyond. We decided we couldn't find that fucking coupon, the 15% off yeah. coupon.
It's
so
20%.
We went with. Mm-hmm. So it's a correction.
20.
It's a pop culture comedy quiz show called International Waters. Jordan is the head writer.
I thought it was called Webs and Things.
Oh, that would be cool.
Nope,
well,
nope,
I guess now we have to shoehorn a show into that title.
This is a better name.
It's called International Waters. Jordan is the head writer. I'm the host. And every week on the show, or excuse me, every month, we're going to be producing this show once a month for the time being. There is a contest between a pop culture quiz contest between a team of two comedians in the United States and two comedians in London, England. That's right, in a studio in London, England, competing for the title of Who is the Best Country? Other countries besides England and the United States
have already been eliminated
yes.
in a previous vetting process.
Yes.
Yeah. It was numerical. Let me just say that. Mm-hmm. There was a numerical system we came up
with. It's alphabetical, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like lies.
A, America. B, Britain.
Anyway, we've got...
No one else.
But Bahamas.
We've got the...
Britain comes first.
Okay.
We've got the pilot up. We've got the pilot up in the feed right now. Just search for International Waters in iTunes or go to the Maximum Fun Room. It'll be up on the website very shortly. And I think it is just really... It's a really fun, awesome show. So give it a listen. You know, tell a friend, et cetera. I think you'll really like it. And then, if I do say so, when the Max Fun Drive rolls around in a couple of weeks, just remember that we have to pay for this whole thing. So if you like it, if you listen to it and you like it and you want to support the cost of making it, then become a member or up your donation level or whatever is required of you. Right?
Sure.
Take care of business.
Ship over some sex furniture.
If it's not too expensive.
Right.
It's very expensive to ship on that.
Just like sex furniture you're done with.
I want to think.
You're bored with.
Nothing better than used sex furniture.
God. Yeah, well, you say
you've penetrated
in this
deeply.
Economy.
Yeah.
You can't
be buying sex furniture new.
No.
I want to thank everybody who came to our meetup this week in Minneapolis. We had a great turnout. I think we had 40 or 50 people there. It was really a blast. Everyone from Public Radio International couldn't believe that I could draw that many people to something in a place where I'm not on the radio. But it was really a great time. Everybody was super nice. A nice lady whose name I want to say was Mary. That's from memory. Was nice enough to give Simon, my son, a board book. It is a Minnesota Twins themed board book. It is an effort to trick him into becoming a Minnesota Twins fan, which I think is both very kind of her and genuinely evil. Just a dastardly act. But I want to thank her for that and all the folks who came out. It was really a great time. And we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Homosensual Brian Safi.
And feminasty Aaron Gibson.
By the way, Brian
yeah,
and Aaron.
I'm tired of all that now.
Brian and Aaron.
I liked it before, now I don't.
The hosts of the new Max Fun podcast, Throw in Shade. If you think they're hilarious here, wait until you hear them on that show.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, we'll take it.
It's like this, but with more issues.
Yeah, we talk about women's issues and gay issues, and we take them kind of seriously.
And then we don't.
And then we also tell dick jokes.
Spin off into
I think people maybe would see the description and maybe think it's a little more high minded. And though it is high minded. You know, you guys are intelligent.
It's very low.
It's ultimately a base.
Yeah, it's very base. This is basically Mike and Molly.
Yes, but yes. We basically were like, what is the easiest way to get these issues across? Talking about jerking off and, you know,
kind
of murder.
Yeah. Fantasy scenarios about genital jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love genital jewelry.
Mm, sure.
The pop singer from the 80s?
Basically.
Isn't there a documentary about people who are obsessed with genital jewelry?
Yep.
There must be.
Hey, we've got some momentous occasions here. When something momentous happens in our listeners' life, we ask that they give us a call at 206-984-4FUN. We hope that you will plug that into your telephone number so that when something important happens, you can call us. We've got a couple of great calls here. Let's give them a listen.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Ken from Denver. Calling in with a momentous occasion. I'm at the Atlanta airport waiting for a flight back to Denver, and I saw Vanilla Ice buying a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and a minute later, Newt Gingrich bought a cup of coffee at the same Starbucks. I saw them within 20 seconds of each other. Weirdest celebrity pairing of all time.
Do you think this is going to be one of those McCain-Palin type situations? Like, they met, they clicked.
Oh, sure.
And they're running.
They really should. You know, Vanilla Ice is a very successful real estate guru.
Yeah.
Is he?
Gingrich Ice 2012.
Yeah. So I think that his business savvy and Gingrich's
Totally. And
political...
And Gingrich would give Vanilla Ice an edge. That
yeah.
would be cool.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of edges on him, that Gingrich.
No.
He's a fat man.
Yes.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And my mom makes the best vanilla newts. Yeah. They are so good, and I think that would...
He didn't say what Newt got. I would be curious to know.
Yeah, I'm interested to know what they ordered.
Yeah, I am also. Yeah, I mean, I think we you know, encourage callers to keep it pithy, but I think in some cases they leave out important details.
I think it could maybe really, I don't know.
Can we just guess what it is? Because I have a guess.
Absolutely.
Venti caramel macchiato extra cream.
Frap.
On both their, both of them.
For both. Oh, wait, is that what Vanilla Ice got?
I mean, that's what Newt got, because as we said before, he's a fatso.
Right. But I think that Newt asked them to dump two muffins inside of it.
Hey, just dump a couple of muffins in there.
I'm supposed to be getting more fiber. Mm.
Right.
And I want it through a straw.
Newt doesn't ingest anything unless he chews it, including liquids.
Right. I want to be able to chew this.
Yes.
Do you think maybe, I mean, as, you know, kind of a... maybe the impetus for their ticket would be like if they both had the same order, you know, double grande caramel macchiato, and the barista puts it on the shelf, and then they both try and grab it at the same time, and then their eyes lock.
It's a meet cute.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love this romantic comedy. I'm going to sell to Paramount. I'm sorry. I just
can I have some money?
No.
No, I want some.
America's love affair with gay, washed-up rappers and politicians.
He's not
continues.
Gay.
Vanilla Ice?
They are in this movie.
Oh, in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But
of
do you think America is ready, Jesse? I mean, you know.
I think America's hungry for this.
He's, it's called Fourth Wife.
Okay, let's hear the next call here.
It's like Fourth Meal.
Yeah, but, yeah.
It's a wife you have after you're drunk and all the bars are closed.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guest. This is Cameron from San Diego. I'm working down here at the factory, and I go into the bathroom.
You know, the San Diego factory.
San Diego factory, sure.
It's where they make orcas.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I was going to say they make neck tattoos and social distortion stickers. They make the San Diego factory.
Under the bathroom, and there's someone standing at the urinal, and the closer I get, I realize that he's actually asleep, and he kind of leaned over against the wall, and he's sort of standing there, and I can only assume that he fell asleep while taking care of business. So I kind of just snuck out of the bathroom. And now I'm trying to figure out if maybe it would have been better to wake him up. But maybe it would have been better if, you know, we weren't both so embarrassed, because that seems to be like a really awkward situation.
Wow.
Just thought you'd like to hear. Take care.
I would have just made a lot of noise. And I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you at some point I haven't rested my arm against a urinal and closed my eyes. I'm not even joking. I think I probably have before.
This is why we have the Momentous Occasion segment on this show, because shit like this is so magical, so beautiful. It's just something that enters your life and just delivers you like a power blast of fairy dust that can bring you into the sky of joy clouds to see something as amazing and something you just never imagined you could see. No. You know what I mean? Like, you know when people were saying, I never thought I'd live to see a black president? Like, I never thought I would live to hear someone tell me that they saw someone asleep standing up while peeing.
Well, I also love that it was in the bathroom of the fact. It sounds like a Bruce Springsteen lyric. Like, so beaten down, you fall asleep at the urinal.
Sleep at the factory urinal.
At the very
least.
That's
what The Rising is all about, right?
Yes.
it's about getting up after falling asleep.
Yes, at the urinal.
Guys, right. It's about 9/11, okay?
Yeah. Oh, God. Sorry. All right. Well,
didn't want to bring it down.
Sorry.
You did.
Sorry, you knew that was going to happen.
Sorry, Jordan, I forgot.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, go. This is Josh in Los Angeles. I was just in a parking lot of a 7-Eleven, and a momentous occasion happened. A guy got out of a car and asked me if I played World of Warcraft, and I said no. And then he said, oh, if you did, I was going to invite you to my guild. And then he slammed his car door and drove away. I think it's because I look like a dork. That's cool. Anyhow, have a good show. Bye.
That's when you got to start reevaluating your grooming and attire choices.
Exactly.
Random invites to World of Warcraft.
Exactly. You need to wipe the sweat off your brow.
Not that there's anything wrong with playing World of Warcraft or anything.
No, there is.
I'm just saying, if you're going to get into that, you at least want to be able to hit the world like world champion baseball pitcher Curt Schilling. When you tell people that you play World, that you're obsessed with World of Warcraft, you want them to be like, oh, because I thought you were a world champion baseball pitcher. And you'll be like, well, don't judge a book by its cover. You don't want someone, you do not want the reverse to happen.
No.
Where you are a social person with life, real, with world engagements, and then someone assumes the worst.
But I am impressed that someone that's that into World of Warcraft would be that social and be
so,
like,
yeah, it's a random
do you want to play? Like, I'm impressed by that.
I mean, it's possible.
I think it's an act of desperation.
Yeah,
it's also possible that they just didn't have the social tools to, they couldn't interpret reactions. And
also,
they were on the spectrum, is what I was saying.
Where is there a parking lot in LA? Can you tell me where that is?
God, I wish I could find a parking lot. Are you being...
No, I don't. Nothing has a parking lot. You have to park on the street.
7-Elevens do. He was at a 7-Eleven.
What are you talking about? 7-11. Los Angeles is one enormous parking lot.
But there's no spaces.
Where
isn't that what's crazy about this town?
How did these people both get a space?
How do they both have a
space?
I
think they were more connected than Josh thought. He should have gone.
Oh,
just because when life gives you an apple, you make apple pie, right?
Exactly.
And I want to be clear that World of Warcraft is an apple, not a lemon, because it's perfectly okay to play World of Warcraft.
I have nothing against World of Warcraft.
Skyrim, certainly.
Well, thank you for telling the truth.
I don't even really know. I know it's a game. Is it like Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes.
Skyrim or World of Warcraft?
They both are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, World of Warcraft is one where you play it on the internet.
Dungeons and Dragons is more so.
But is it like an RPG?
It is, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Orcs.
Nice work.
You know how proud I am that I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a real shit-eating grin on your face. Look at you.
RPG. Yes. Right, guys?
You want to join my guild?
Oh, absolutely. See, I would. I would be interested.
In a guild?
But I'm also the kind of person that never gets a second invite for a game night. So I don't think I would be that fun.
You fuck them up.
Yeah.
Okay, it's because you like throw the board across the room and say, I'm done.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that why I haven't seen you in ElfQuest lately?
Yes, that's exactly why. That's I get a, one invite right, and I freak out.
I think so. That's, I think that's the thing before my, World of Warcraft. You're right.
I think that's
live action. I think you go out into the world and do that.
Oh. No, that's vampire.
What about, Brian, did you ever play Legends of Zelda?
Don't worry, Jesse, someone will
No, but I did play Legends of the Fall.
Okay.
The video game based on the...
Of course, on the movie.
Only available on PS3.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
an exclusive.
Exactly.
I'm really good at the level where you have to write stuff on a chalkboard.
Yes.
Legends of the Fall.
Yeah.
I'm really good at the Anthony Hopkins level.
Anthony Hopkins level, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes mute. Anyway,
I'm grasping at straws.
Yeah, well.
As far as my
Legends
of the Fall
details. I
never
saw it, to be honest with you.
It's beautiful.
It's a really lovely movie.
Yeah.
You know, I've never played Legends of the Fall. What happened is I got super into Metropolitan.
The Whit Stillman movie, the video game.
Yeah, the Whit Stillman video game. It's where you're a prep in your early 20s,
right.
And you get
don't
involved.
Stop talking.
You've got a lot of ennui that you express verbally.
Yeah. I bet you'd love the video game Not Without My Daughter.
That is a good
one. By Lifetime Games.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Real violent, too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they got away with just an M rating for that.
Sally Field did
so
all those
violent.
Voices, yeah.
All the mocap, too. She put on the suit
at this
with
point,
all the balls.
At this point, if we're not getting GIFs emailed to us and posted on the forum and on Tumblr of the covers, our art, and screenshots from these games,
we're not doing it right.
I'm just going to kill myself before the next show.
I did it.
Suicide is no laughing matter, but I want to make it clear that I'm serious.
Guys, I think this has been a great run, and I'm not trying to diminish this run. I did a similar run when the last time I was on the Indoor Kids, Kumail Nanjiani's video game podcast, and I goofed that I was very into the Network video game.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, I think it's good, and I was tempted to reuse it, but I think more of you than that,
Thank
listener.
You.
I have one more quick story about a video game.
Please.
The Saw video game has a question on it that's like, who do you choose?
Wait, the Saw video game is like a trivia game?
No, it's like a video game.
The Saw video game.
There's actually
a Alex Trebek.
No, it's like Jigsaw asks you who are you fighting or who are you fighting to win for or whatever.
Yeah.
Your wife, your partner, or your children, which I thought was extremely progressive.
Yeah. Right.
I was really impressed that
he
Saw would have
that option.
He also
likes to torture gay people.
Totally. Jigsaw is pro-gay.
Sure.
Yeah. He voted against
Equal
Prop 8.
Opportunity.
Exactly.
I was going to say, someone made a lovely, lovely animated GIF of the start scene of the Network video game because of that podcast.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That's great.
It's great. You can see it on my Tumblr if you'd like.
Well, I think
it says, if you're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore, press start.
There you go.
I think the gauntlet has been thrown down here. I'm really excited about Metropolitan, the video game.
Oh, that will be a good one.
I'm just looking forward to seeing, and you know, I mean, the Last Days of Disco game is going to be pretty exciting.
Barcelona?
Yeah, that is going to be.
Oh, Vicky Christina Barcelona. Is that the one you're talking about?
Match Point is going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
River Runs Through It.
Yeah.
The entire early Brad Pitt canon, Tom and Louise.
I'm looking forward to the one-on-one fighting talented Mr. Ripley.
Yes.
Oh, that one will be good.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Homosensual Brian Safi.
And feminasty Aaron Gibson.
Nah, I like it again.
I am prepared this time around for the tweet of the week. Because earlier today I was searching for the hashtag JJGo, which I do from time to time. Try and keep an eye on what people are chatting about, who's calling me fat and ugly.
and hashtagging it JJGo.
Yeah. We got something from @Hoffm, HOFFM. And usually I like to pick something that is both original, not just repeating a joke of ours, and directly related to something we just talked about on Jordan Jesse Go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we have talked about this, but I don't remember talking about it recently, but it's so important.
Sure.
It's just so important. He just wrote, if you enjoy being delighted, I suggest you type Clooney Pig into Google Images. And he provided a link. I clicked on this link. Look at these pictures of George Clooney and his pet pig.
Oh, God.
That's this pretty is adorable.
What?
Pretty. George Clooney used to have a pet pig that lived in his house.
And but slept it's dead in his now?
Bed. It's passed on now. But it
just
used
like
to
the late Bob Guccione.
It mm-hmm. used to sleep with him in his bed, and I just. It's just so great to see it. I mean,
that's pretty
is,
wonderful.
Was the pig, is that who got him out of jail?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, the pig's dead.
The
I'm
pig's
sorry.
Dead.
Yeah.
So the ghost of the pig right. got him out of jail.
The ghost
it
pig.
It spooked bailed all the guards.
Out. Yeah.
So at Hoff,
made a run for it.
At Hoffman, Michael, email intern at MaximumFun.org and we'll give you a free, we'll send you a free t-shirt because I think it was absolutely, it was worth every penny of what those t-shirts cost me plus postage that you brought those pictures of George Clooney hugging his pig into my life.
Who knew?
I did. Well, but okay. I didn't know about the pictures. I didn't have the photographic evidence of this amazing, amazing, fucking amazing situation.
Is it going to make you not eat pork?
No, I love pork. No, pork is
even
great.
More now. That pig looks delicious.
Oh, yeah. Friends with a movie star.
Ooh, smarter than a dog.
Yes.
I'm consuming your power. Anyway, gee whiz. I just want to remind everybody the Max Fun Drive starts on the 26th. We are going to have not just great episodes of all of your favorite Max Fun shows, including but not limited to Jordan, Jesse Go and Throwing Shade, but also special bonus episodes.
Mm-hmm. Donors only.
Jordan and I, and also my brother and me, and Stop Podcasting Yourself, are going to make new riff videos where we make little jokes at the expense of a short educational film from the 1940s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a real blast, and we've got all kinds of cool thank you gifts and whatever. And, you know, everything that we do is paid for by people out there like you. So thank you to everybody who donates and to everybody who's warming up to start getting up off their money starting on the 26th. Y'all going to get paid. Y'all gonna get paid. I'm not talking to you in the audience. I'm talking to Aaron and Brian.
Oh,
Brian.
Yeah. Can I just say not to... I don't know how you feel about leaving this on a sentimental
but
note.
But you're super rich already.
Oh, I'm lousy with money.
Yeah.
No, we're really happy to be a part of the family.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's great to have
very
you guys.
Excited.
It is a pleasure. I was so happy to hear you say that. I've been listening to your show for a long time, and when I pitched you, I was like nervous. I'm like, oh, what are they going to think of this whole thing?
We were nervous too.
Oh, yeah.
It
all comes out.
Remember when we first met at that airport and I had that triple caramel macchiato and I reached for it, Newt reached for it,
and
you
then
guys
you guys were on
it.
The same plane and you were loudly reading the story of David and Goliath.
Yeah.
Yes.
Over the sound of jelly bellies being consumed.
Mm-hmm. It was all the same plane trip, guys.
So listen.
That's what we call
the
Langoliers. Prestige.
Langoliers.
Listen,
or the Langoliers.
Listen up, fuck faces. Subscribe to Throwing Shade. Give it a listen. What they do, what Aaron and Brian do is every week they take all of the most important issues that are going on in the worlds of ladies and homosexuals, and then they make a long string of often very vulgar jokes about them.
Sometimes lies.
Lies.
Also lies.
Start lying.
Yes.
Yeah, that is one of your favorite comic tropes.
It is. Someone said, they go, I love your podcast. It's just lies.
We're just doing it a little bit of a disservice because we do try to talk about serious
of
things.
Of course we do, yeah.
And I hope that everyone also will check out the pilot for International Waters, which we
Please,
just posted.
Yes.
And we're going to put another one up very shortly during the pledge drive. This is a really, really cool show. The first episode has, among other people, the brilliantly hilarious Paul Scheer and Janet Varney here in the United States. And in the UK, it has Tom Parry and
Josie Long.
I almost forgot Josie's name there for a second. Josie's actually a friend of mine. Josie and Tom representing the UK, Paul and Janet representing the US, and special guest Ryan Johnson, the director of Brick and The Brothers Bloom and the upcoming Looper.
Nice.
The upcoming Looper, which he just premiered the trailer for some shit at WonderCon.
Don't know.
What is WonderCon?
I was at WonderCon. I was there yesterday.
What is it?
It's like kind of a lesser Comic-Con.
Okay.
Although it is becoming more like Comic-Con.
It'll destroy Comic-Con is what you're saying.
I think it's put on by the same people, so I don't think they would like it to destroy it.
Well, you don't know that.
And it is in Anaheim.
I think
it was lovely.
Wait. WonderCon is in Anaheim?
It used to be in San Francisco. Now it's in Anaheim.
Oh, I thought that it being in San Francisco was the whole point of it.
I guess not.
I guess you can just get show business people to come to Anaheim.
Yeah, I think so. I think they had a, they, you know, you got Mila Jovovich was down there.
Free canvas bags. You can get anybody.
Right. Yes, exactly.
That's a good point. So anyway, go into your iTunes, download A Throw in Shade, download An International Waters, give them a try, and get ready for the pledge drive. That's all I got to say. It has been a delight to have you on the program, Aaron and
Thanks
Brian.
For
it's
having
been a delight
us.
For us. What this fun. Is great.
I'm fucking delighted.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy fully. Every day of my life thinking about what's happening between all of us.
This is amazing. I'm so glad that we decided to have this quadrangle marriage.
Yeah. It's words good. Can't describe it.
This is absolutely...
But we can try. Yeah.
Let's give it a shot. I mean, it is like having your foot, one of your feet in the perfect foot massage machine.
Yes.
Wait. Who's going to hit me in the crotch with the baguette? Which one
I'll do it.
Oh, thanks. Great.
I'd love
Great.
To do it.
Well, thank you.
It would be That's my fine. Pleasure.
Yeah. Our theme music, Love You, by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. We're online at MaximumFun.org. JJ Go at MaximumFun.org. 206-9844-FUN. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.